Hi, how are you?
I'm
Happy
good.
Tuesday.
Yes, happy Tuesday. Definitely happy. It's one day closer to Friday.
I hear you.
And also spring is coming. Hopefully we're in March. Actually, I didn't tell you. I put all of my winter coats away, which basically means there will be another snowstorm here. So sorry,
I was
everybody.
gonna
It's all my fault.
say for beginning of March, that's a little ballsy, but positive thinking.
Yes, it's all my fault if that happens, but it is what it is. I just couldn't take it anymore. It's March. The sun needs to come out. The flowers need to come out. Yeah. So there you go. So today's topic is going to be interesting, I think. Hi, Maminor. Nice to see you. So we have a good one for today. So just to welcome everybody, this is the Work at Life show. I'm here with Sonia Lucina, and I will ask her to introduce herself in just a second. And I'm Maddie Grant. I'm a culture designer. My company is called Propel. We are at propelnow.co. And Sonia and I love to talk about, well, work and life. So that's what this show is about. And every week we start with an interesting data point and just kick off a conversation about the topic of the week. So, Sonia, why don't you tell us what we have in store for today?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Maddie. My name is Sonia. I am an organizational psychologist. I am a president also of the Workforce Business Unit at Question Pro. And like Maddie was saying, every week we like to tackle a big topic and something that we think that people will be interested in, but also maybe where there's an area for all of us to learn together. Because as Maddie and I prepare for each one of the shows every week, we come across a topic that we believe is important, but we also feel like we can learn something about. So this week we had a lot of fun learning more about finances. I was just joking with the girls before the show that I've lived on three different continents and in my adult life, and I've worked with three different currencies and three different work systems. And how do you save for retirement? And how much money do you need? And where in the world am I going to retire? I have no idea. I'm sitting in Argentina now. Maybe it's here, maybe it's somewhere else. So for a topic that's actually quite complex, I feel like I've maybe a little more difficult on myself. But anyways, it's something obviously that's very interesting, very relevant to a lot of people. And so, as always, we'll walk you through a few data points because we did, in preparation for our show, ask a number of US workers what they thought about finances. And so the first question we had asked if people consider themselves to have financial literacy. And we were actually just chatting about this data point too. And we're maybe in some ways pleasantly surprised at how many people, between saying absolutely and yeah, somewhat, 80% of people said they had financial literacy. And so we thought, wow, that's, it's really great. And in such a complex issue, seems maybe a little higher than we expected. And so then we asked the question in a different kind of way. And we asked how many people consider themselves to have strong financial literacy. And that's where we saw the data start to shift a little bit. And from those that believe they did, it dropped from 80% to 71%.
Yeah, and what I always think is really fascinating about these data points and kind of annoying in a way is that we can't go back in time and compare today's numbers with, 10 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever. Because I know that, and that just from speaking from personal experience, I have pretty strong financial literacy today. But to get to that, I got divorced, and so I had to learn how to manage, my household finances for myself. And then I started my consulting firm and also had to manage all of that from a business perspective. And so there's all these like life things that happen that force you to have to learn how to do a budget and things like that. And I still I still don't do it well, I would say. I'm one of these people that is pretty generous. So when I have money, I like to spend it on everybody that I love. And I read something that was all about how if you want to really save money for retirement, you have to not do that. And I was like, that's not how I want to live. Like, you can't take it with you. You know, I'm a you can't take it with you person, which again, not a rule necessarily that anybody else should follow. But you know, like, life is short. So yeah, anyway.
It's different philosophies. It's, do you want to make people happy all along the way? Do you want to be able to retire on a yacht? Do you want to be able to retire? So I think there are different kinds of questions, but sometimes it's hard to think about it because we want to be prepared for the future and we want to be, you know, have a fund to help our kids and again, be able to retire. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you don't want to go through life necessarily always making these huge sacrifices. And so right. it's that balance, but that's where really that literacy comes in a way, is how do you know to balance that effectively and how much you have, how do you want to retire? What is that going to look like? And then how much and what can you do in the meantime? And it's interesting because it is such an important topic. But when you think about it, like, nowhere in our life do we really get educated about it in a formal kind of way. Even if you think for people that, you know, went to college, you have to choose maybe a finance path specifically. And even there, a lot of times it's business finance. It's not specifically personal finances or how do you plan. So for such a critical topic that has intervened in so many parts of our life, it's surprising that there's actually not more formally about it. And that, which brings us actually to our next data point that we wanted to share, is that, you know, we were saying we were maybe a little bit pleasantly surprised at how many people said that they had financial literacy. But then when we asked the question a little bit differently, and if people felt that financial stress was affecting their jobs or health or relationships, you can see that a lot of people said yes. Over 70% of people said that it causes stress. So it's interesting because in trying to interpret the information, you know, does that mean that people have the information and they are literate enough to know that they're in trouble? And a lot of times when we think about what the average debt is of a millennial, Gen X, boomers, it's quite a bit of money by the time, you know, we get through school, et cetera. So this was a little bit, you know, it made us take a step back and say, okay, so people kind of feel like they know what's going on, but they still feel really stressed out. So what are some things that we can do? How do we change this? And I think for those of you that have joined us in the last few episodes, you know that we've been talking a lot about well-being. And God, like, this can really have such a tremendous impact, both in positive and in negative ways. So that's why we wanted to spend some time and really absorb this information and say, where, you know, as a society, where do we go from here? What do people do? And, you know, what do employers do maybe? So if we're saying that it's not a part of formal education in universities and in other places, a lot of us are working today. So is there, you know, when we think about different benefits and we think about unique benefits that organizations can offer, could this actually be a really valuable one that could be on the table that's really not as much today?
Yeah. So we actually found some really interesting stories online, and we'll share a couple in the resources with this video. But there are companies providing financial literacy as an employee benefit. And one of the reasons that that's useful is actually to help relieve stress among your employees. So I think, you know, thinking it through a little bit more, I think what you mentioned earlier, you know, the idea of actually understanding finances and how to manage it actually helps alleviate some stress, even when it doesn't necessarily take away the issues that you might have. Like, maybe your salary is not high enough compared to your expenses, or you have a lot of debt. Like, there's so many millions of people in that situation, not to mention the pandemic and people who've lost their jobs and all that kind of thing. But even in those areas, if you know how to put together a budget, you know, maybe if you need to kind of like shrink your expenses or or if you just know how to think about like what's coming in and what's going out and kind of understand where you're spending your money, that can actually help to alleviate the stress that you might be feeling, because it gives you a little bit more control. Like you feel like you can actually do something, even if it's only a little thing. And then of course, if you're lucky enough to not have like super stress about these things, then you can actually learn how to build your nest egg and, you know, save for retirement and all these things that for a lot of people is, you know, a very far away dream. But so, yeah, so that stress that can easily be, it can come through at work. I mean, I think financial stress is just huge for people. And when you feel that, similarly to like health related stress, when you feel that, it can permeate your just your whole life and, you know, how you show up at work, because it's just so like stressful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You
know, it sort of takes over, right, in your brain if you really are stressed about that.
So real quick, because I see a few more people joining us, just wanted to welcome those of you who just came and thank you for joining us in tackling such an important topic as finance and well-being. Maddie and I just shared a little bit of data around how people feel about their financial literacy and found that we were a little, you know, in some ways pleasantly surprised how many people felt like they either had financial literacy or strong financial literacy. For strong, 71% said at least they had somewhat was the strong financial literacy. But then also what we found when we dug into the data a little bit more is even though people felt like maybe they know what's going on, a lot of people said that financial stress was affecting their job and their health. And so what Maddie and I were discussing now is what can people do to educate themselves better? What can organizations do? And we're talking actually about some examples from what organizations have done effectively to help.
Uh-oh, she's frozen a little bit. Hopefully we'll get Sonia back.
It's,
but yes.
So much of a cycle in what happens and how people are impacted. So finance can have a really strong impact on the well-being.
Yeah. And so finance, I mean, it basically can cause burnout, which is another one of the topics that we've dug into a lot recently. And, you know, Sonia mentioned wellness as a topic. But digging into this a little more, so we've been talking about financial literacy from a personal finances perspective. But what's also interesting is to see how many companies are actually helping their organizations with financial literacy for the company. So, hey, you're back. So Sonia, I'm just talking about financial literacy on behalf of the company. So we have done a fair amount of research on the future of work. And one of the things that has come up is empowering employees to basically have a say in managing the financial operations of the company. And there are examples of very future-focused companies that allow their employees to do this. So one is called Morningstar. It's a tomato factory. But they allow their employees to spend as much money as they want if it furthers the goals of the company. And the way that they allow that to happen is because everybody knows what part they have to play in the company's profitability. So they can say, I need this piece of equipment. It costs X thousand dollars, but it's going to, you know, getting this equipment will return us, you know, many times more than that, because it's going to help us be more efficient in, you know, all these ways. So that's one example. And then there's another example, well-known example around Whole Foods and salary transparency. And there's other companies that share salaries across the organization. Buffer is another one. And basically, for Whole Foods, the idea is that if everybody knows what everybody else makes, then, and this is obviously a national, if not international company, then a team in one geographic location can compare themselves to a team in another geographic location and see that the other team is doing much better and getting paid much higher salaries and figure out why. So they can basically share efficiencies with each other. They can share knowledge. They can share resources. They can help each other evolve sort of in a rising tide lifts all boats kind of way. And then there's also related to that, you know, transparency around cost of living in different places. And, you know, there's all these other factors, but it makes things more kind of equitable to be able to see how that works. So anyway, that's just another interesting angle where, you know, for a company, if you are really transparent about how the financial operations works and or impacts or is impacted by each individual department and then each individual person, you know, there's a lot of benefit to that. Actually, I just thought of another example, which is where if you need to cut costs, there's lots of examples of companies that share exactly what's happening with their staff. You know, there's a downturn in the market, there's a recession, whatever the cause is, we need to cut 10% of our, you know, overall expenses, and everybody chip in and work together to figure out how you can cut 10% of your department's budget. You know, and giving people agency to actually work on that stuff together because they understand the importance and they can work together to avoid layoffs. You know, there's like a huge, you know, benefit to being able to do that. Like that's a goal. You know, it's just really powerful stuff, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I think as you're saying that, I was thinking about the parallel between a person's personal life and then your life at work. And when you think about, you make trade-offs every day, right? You think about, okay, what can I afford as far as groceries, and what can I afford, you know, can I order out food or not? What kind of clothes do I get? Like, you're always thinking about a budget. And if you're doing it correctly, you're living up to your means. You're thinking about how much I save and how much do I have, you know, from month to month or quarter to quarter. But a lot of times for organizations, to your point, like it's a lot more gray. And if we think about decisions, it doesn't always feel like our money because it's the company. And when you're thinking about headcount or hiring people or salaries or investing in different technologies or different equipment, sometimes you don't personalize it as much. So you might not be thinking about it as critically as if you would if it were your own bank account. But there's such tremendous benefits to that because it does help you understand, well, if I'm in the product group, how does the finance group work? And how does the sales group work? And what budgets do they have? And what makes them successful? And to your point, for most organizations, at some point, you'll have to make a difficult decision. And a lot of times that difficult decision will be tied to finances because a lot of things in life are. And unfortunately, as humans, we always feel like we get the short end of the stick, right? We tend to think, this was done and it was more unfair to me than somebody else. And a lot of times it's because of the lack of information that we have. And so the more organizations can be, one, transparent, and two, to your point, really involve people in those decisions, you process things completely differently if you're told something, then if you're a part of that decision, you have to start thinking about how different things work or say, hey, you know, we have to cut 10% across the organization. We're going to start with every team cutting 10%. If you can do 15 or 20, we're going to give you an X benefit or something, but just to see how much people push themselves and how they think about that contribution. I think that's brilliant. I hope we see more organizations doing that moving forward.
Well, and not to mention the wastage. I know every company has things they spend money on that doesn't get used or is not worth it or costs more than it should or whatever. So it just, it illuminates some of that stuff too. Because some of the things that are really important might not be as visible because, you know, for whatever reason, it's just not as visible what gets spent money on, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I can't believe it. As usual, we are already at the end of our show.
We are. Go so fast. So as always, we'll share all of the resources that we showed you in the comments on YouTube and all in social media. We do have our colleagues' live shows as well. On Tuesdays, we talk about CX, and Friday about research. So we'll post the links to that in the comments. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week, we're going to have a special episode because it is Women's Day on Monday. So Maddie and I are finalizing and we'll announce what our topic for the day is going to be. But
yes.
We really hope you've been enjoying our sessions. Thank you for all the recommendations for things that you want to hear. Maddie, I'll turn it over to you for the last words before we sign off.
Yeah, I will just say, as always, you know, send us your topic ideas because there's just so much to talk about, but we want to know what you all think is most top of mind. So, and hopefully we'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Yeah, take care. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.